The title of the message today is that trials happen. Trials happen. If you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30, the book of Romans is an excellent book. Has a lot of deep revelation in there where God is speaking through the Apostle Paul, and he was ministering to the church of Rome. That was a church that was under severe persecution due being right at the seat of where the emperors lived. We know that Christians were being put to death and, things of this nature. So a very difficult time. And Paul himself, that's where most believe he passed away, where he died probably by being beheaded. Being a Roman citizen, that was they considered the more merciful way of putting you to death versus hanging you on a cross. And I guess I can see their point a little bit. But nevertheless, Rome, the Romans were very evil then. They definitely needed God. But in our lives that we live today, with everything going on, have you ever played the blame game with God? I think we all have from time to time. You know, we're always looking for the answer of why do things really happen, and sometimes why do they happen to me? Why do they happen? Why do things go the way they do? You know, we think about why do bad things happen to good people? That's a question that I get a lot of. But I kind of counter, I think, why do good things happen to bad people? We don't know, do we? You know, I think sometimes we can wear ourselves out trying to figure too many things out. And I think it's better just to look to God's Word for wisdom and just serve Him and follow Him. So Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30, it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn of many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified." Let's pray. Father, we honor You today. We thank You, Lord, for Your revelation knowledge. We know that information is great. But Lord, we desire revelation today. Something that can only come from the Spirit of God. Lord, as we open ourselves up today to Your Word, and we just ask that You speak to us individually where we're at, and take us to the next place where we need to be. Lord, I yield to the wisdom of God right now, and I yield to the gift You put inside of me, and I use it for Your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from stealing the Word in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when we have a trial going on in our life, most of us would probably confess that we would look at that trial as a bad thing. We would look at it as a hardship, and we look at it as a severe difficulty in our life in trying to function, right? Because trials do happen. None of us are exempt from a trial because we live in a world down here that is sometimes hates us. But we, as we've looked at in the last few weeks from time to time, that we don't really have it as bad as some do. Open Doors Ministries published something, and they said that every month 322 Christians are killed for their faith, is what it's talking about. More than 200 churches or properties are destroyed, and 700 acts of violence are committed against believers. That's every month around the world. And that's the kind of world that we live in. Now, where is God in these situations? Some may ask that question. There's many people that doubt the existence or love of God because of the attack and the persecution that's happened upon believers today. But as we look through Scripture, we'll find hopefully a happy medium to some degree. And so we can maybe reconcile this in our heart. And I'm sure you possibly work with somebody, and when things come up, that they ask you these questions. And they want to try to, get this. Some are sincere, some are not. But one thing that we do know is that God allows trials in our life. We know that God is fully powerful enough to stop it. We've watched it in Scripture. We've watched it in our own lives. The divine interventions that we all experience from time to time. But Why doesn't it do it all the time? I'm not going to give you the answer to that. I don't know. I'm not God. But we're going to look at some scriptures, how we can deal with these things so we don't become discouraged and give up. The saddest thing is when somebody starts out in the faith and then due to situations and circumstances, then they walk away from God and they give up on Him. And that's not good. Now, there is a purpose for trials. The Bible says that those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. So it's going to happen. Because I know that everybody listening to me today desires to live a godly life. Amen? There's going to be attacks that do happen. And the purpose. Now, the purpose of a trial is not to destroy our faith. But the purpose of the trial is to increase our faith. But it only works if you do one thing. And it's very important. You have to hang on to God during the trial. If we hang on to God and hang on to God's promises, our faith will increase and we'll be a better man or woman of God on the other side. But the sad thing is, a lot of people, when they experience trials, they run and they try to get away. I do counseling from time to time. And the worst thing that a person can do is to run away from their problems. I know people that run from relationship to relationship. They run from church to church. They run from job to job because they're not willing to confront the real problem. And that's something we're not going to get into today. Maybe next time. Now, a trial, what it really means, it's the act of trying, attesting, or the putting to the proof. Now, we use this in a courtroom setting. Some of you probably have watched trials on TV or maybe the news, or maybe you've been called for, I don't put my jury duty, I don't want to say that too loud. Haven't been called for about a year or so now. I got called in on a big one, I had to sit there all day, but it really frustrated me at the end because I really feel I would have been fair. They never even gave me a try. I was the wrong demographic. You know, they were looking for a different one, but anyway, I was glad it was probably a 2-week trial. That would have been kind of long, but anyway, it's good to be picked every now and then, but maybe not for jury duty. Another times they use trials is in the Olympics. You know, when they run, like in the United States here, they'll have these special trials, and only the best get to go on to try to compete for the gold. So that trial kind of weeds out the weakness. And so trials, that's some things that they do. Now, the purpose of our trials is that it's going to bring us to perfection. That should be our goal, the sanctification, the perfection. And as we try to do that, because our faith will increase. I remember times in my life when I first started out in God, is that when attacks would come, and sometimes I felt like I was too weary to fight, or I just didn't feel like it, I knew that if I just hung in there for a week or two, that was a slip of the tongue, because sometimes it's like that, it feels like, but a week or two, that I knew this trial would be over. And if I just put her on autopilot. And finally I got to thinking, that's stupid. Why not fight back? Why not exercise my faith muscles and try to grow in Christ? And that was a revelation for me, because our character needs to be changed into the image of Christ. That's the goal of it. And that's what it said in Romans 8. We're to be conformed to His image. Now, some might say that's sacrilegious. You can never be like Christ. We'll never be God. That's not our goal. Our goal is to be like Him. It can only happen by His grace. But, you know, nevertheless, we have to give something in the situation, in the equation. We have to give our heart. We have to have passion in our heart. We have to have a desire to want to grow and to want to change. You know, I like the saying back in the 80s or 90s, I don't remember when it came out, no pain, no gain. Remember that one? You know, when you're working out or doing something. You know, when I used to ski, you know, we had a saying, my friend and I, no guts, no glory. You know, you just go down the hill as fast as you can and hope you make it to the bottom. I mean, that's just the way we lived our skiing career. You know, we just, you know, didn't know how to ski very good, but we thought we were good. You know, we did. We really thought we were good. You know, but as we found out later, we weren't that good, you know, because we didn't have any control over our bodies. There was hands and arms and poles flying everywhere, you know, but we made it to the bottom. You know, we just, I don't know what kind of glory we got at the bottom, but there was none, I guess. I guess the fact that glory was we made it. But all these things come into play because the sad thing that we forget is God cares more about our character than he does our comfort, doesn't he? And this is going to be kind of a little bit of a pain for those of us who live in the United States. Because we have this idea that we want to be comfortable. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I like indoor plumbing. My grandpa and grandma, when I was little, they never had indoor plumbing. I mean, they might have had some come in for the sink, but they never had a bathroom inside. And so we would have to trot outside to the outhouse if you wanted to use the bathroom. And if you're down at grandma and grandpa's for 5 or 6 hours, you're going to have to use that bathroom. You know, one of these times you're going to have to use it. And, you know, that was a little different. I liked the comfort. I remember when they got indoor plumbing and they put that bathroom back in that room there where it was. That was awesome. See, we'd always had indoor plumbing at my house. But, you know, they didn't have a lot of money and for whatever reason, and they just waited for whatever reason. And my grandpa wasn't that aggressive. He liked to kick back a little bit, not push too hard. So that could have been part of it. So what we do as Christians, the mistake that you and I make, and we've all probably done it, is the fact that we go by feelings too much. We base our relationship with God on how comfortable we are right now. You know what I mean? If we're comfortable and we feel blessed, then we have a good relationship with God. Well, what happens then when we get persecuted or when we're under trial and we're being tested? You know, so if we're not comfortable no more, then we start to doubt ourselves and we get to the idea that, oh, there's some sin in my life or God doesn't love me. You know, there's something bad. You know, something bad happens and, you know, where's God in this situation? I thank God the early church did not live their life like that. Or there would have been no church. Because they held on to God. And sometimes we make the mistake where we blame God for the situation. You know, we have to remember back in the back of our mind, there is a devil. Now, God allows trials to come to our life and God will use them. I don't believe every trial is from God. I believe sometimes we do stupid stuff, as I said. You know, or maybe the devil just doesn't like us and we're being attacked. And we make that mistake, we always got to blame somebody. And, you know, we're all like that. And us husbands and wives are, probably husbands are the worst about it. When something bad goes happen, who do you got to blame? How many would rather blame your wife than God? Men, be honest. You know. We blame our wives, don't we? We blame our spouse. And when we do that, you know, it kind of, it hinders our growth. Because really, a trial shouldn't push a couple apart from each other, should it? It shouldn't. Because really, I've done a few weddings. And really, some of that stuff I make people say, you know what I mean? To love and to hold in this and in that. If you do say I do, yes, amen, Pastor Brad, I do, amen. But you know, trials happen, don't they? Trials come in. And what the devil tries to do, he tries to divide marriages and divide people. Now, James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 tells us how we're supposed to approach a trial. And it's hard to swallow because it doesn't make any sense to us in the flesh. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." How many, when they're under trial, count it all joy? Yippee! Another trial. Another attack from the enemy. Man, this is great. No, we don't do that, do we? We try to figure things out instead of just attacking it with our faith. Because the best thing we can do is try to develop that attitude of joy. You know, an old preacher said one time, if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't steal your goods. You know, don't let the devil steal your joy. Now you say, well, that's kind of lying, ain't it, Pastor Brad? If I'm under trial and I start to be happy and I'm really not, it's not lying. It's just kind of maybe stretching the truth a little. No, I'm kidding. But what it is, you're looking at it with the idea of faith. See, faith looks beside. See, our problem is when we're in a situation, that's all we can see is the situation. You know, a lot of times when we have an attack go on, maybe us and our spouse aren't getting along, or maybe there's a problem at work, or, you know, you fill in the blank, whatever you experience problems in. And then you're in that problem, and all you can think about is that problem. We just focus on the problem. And as we focus on the problem, that problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then as we do that, it robs us. And then when we get under stress, did you know stress can rob your faith? You know, we feel them, and it's hard on your body, it's hard on everything. So if we can be happy, the Bible says merry hearts like medicine. So if we can get to the place where we're in a trial, and instead of just focusing on that trial for a minute, we step back. Take a couple steps back. Try to look this thing over a little bit. You know, we've all, as you get older, been in quite a few trials, and some of them are similar, aren't they? Remember back how you got through the last trial. Know that you can overcome. Because basically, you know, wisdom says this too shall come to pass, right? It's going to come to pass. We're going to get through this thing. Because basically, trials happen. You know, it would have been so much easier if God, we just go to be in heaven after we get saved, but God left us down here to grow, right? Because the devil, he will try to get us caught up in the moment of what's really going on right now and miss out the big picture. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7 says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there we see three scriptures we've looked at, talking about how these things may happen. Now, I don't know about you. I've done this, and I'm sure Brother Jeff has too, a little bit, maybe some of you others. But I've been in other countries, and I've witnessed to people. And this is what Peter was doing today. Peter wrote this passage while Christians were being put to death every day. Every day. They were being put to death. You know how hard it is sometimes to walk up to somebody and tell them you need to become a Christian, but when you do that, you know they might have a chance of being put to death because they become that person. And that's who Peter was writing to. He knew that the people that he testified to, the people that he would lead to Christ, that they would have a chance that might happen, that they would be executed for that decision that they made. That's difficult, isn't it? But nevertheless, if you know the truth, we know that they're going to go to hell right now. But you know, if you get them to accept Jesus Christ and ask him into their heart, then we know that if they are put to death, they get to go to be in heaven. So it's an easy answer. But it is hard sometimes, knowing the things that you, when you witness and what you do, that put people through. Now, you know, why does God allow things to happen? I'm going to use an example here. In the Old Testament, that, you know, God had delivered the people of Israel. You know, they had the plagues in Egypt and things like this. And the Egyptians had made the Jewish people slaves, and they were treating them harshly and even tried to execute the male babies. And it wasn't a good place to live anymore. You know, it just had, everything had fallen apart. And the fact is that as they did this, they were delivered. And God had brought them out. And as he brought them out, he parted the Red Sea. I don't know if you've ever, I've never witnessed something like that, but that'd be cool. Opened up the ocean. They walked through on dry ground. All this water had just moved apart. And then they were heading in. And then the water closed and the Egyptians died. Well, then they kept on trekking. Bless God, we got a big God. Man, things are going good for us. Things are looking up. We were slaves back there. Now God's doing this for us and that. Well, as they marched out into the desert, guess what? No water. Here they came from a place where there's a lot of water. He led them out to a place where there was no water. What'd they do? They started to complain. They wanted to put Moses to death. I mean, that's quite a crowd. I mean, I've had some people mad at me. And to my knowledge, nobody here's wanted to kill me yet. Although they would probably pray I would go on to be with Jesus quicker sometimes. A few, I've known a couple. But that's the way it is sometimes. Here, one minute, God did this, and the next minute, why? We don't know. Other than the fact, I do see the picture that the Egyptians were wanting to kill them, and God was testing them out here in the desert. They were going to find out some things about themselves. Did you know that's what a trial does? When, you know, it's easy when everything's going good to be happy, right? And be sweet. I mean, a lot of, you know, just sweet. But have you ever noticed when you're under trial? Has anybody ever told you you're not as sweet as you could be? Right? We're not, are we? We've lost our sweetness. And that's what happened here. See, trials help us to make us strong. Now, I think most people here is very good-natured. And if we had a little, you know, I tried this once when I was a kid, didn't work out. But I got this big idea. I was going to get this little incubator gizmo. It was going to send away for some quail eggs. It was going to put the eggs in there and try to hatch them. I think I cooked them. I don't know. It didn't work. Anyway, but most of us have probably, you know, we had chickens as a kid. And, you know, you look down there and all of a sudden, here's this little chicken just starting to peck away. Just all of a sudden, he breaks his little beak out of that egg. You know what I mean? That's really cool. And then you see him struggling. Little critter. Not very big at all. Trying to fight his way out of that egg. And most of us are so sweet, we say, here, little fella, I'll help you. So you break the egg. And you help the little thing out. And it died. You know why? It needed to break through the egg to gain strength so that I could live out in the world. That's why sometimes we go through trials. It's so that we can become stronger. So that we can be able to learn how to overcome, because there's so many attacks that come against us. And I don't know about you, but you know, we all spoil our kids a little bit, but I do know this, that it's our responsibility as a parent to help them to understand how to deal with problems, isn't it? That's part of what we're supposed to do. How bad would it be, and how spoiled and weak would we be if our parents just did everything for us? And the same thing, if God just did all that for us that we never had to learn anything, how messed up would we be? We'd be pretty messed up, because sometimes life happens and sometimes trials happen. We need to learn to break through that egg and to grow and to hold on and get stronger. How do we apply this? One thing that helps me when I'm in a trial is the fact that I know that how much God really loves me. I never doubt the love of God. And I encourage you to never doubt his love. He always loves us. The Bible says, even in the beginning, it said there, those who love God. Now, that's the key. We need to love him back, people. We need to love him back. And then God's going to start to work these things out. And I do believe that a loving God will never try to hurt me. He may want me to grow up, but I know he'll never hurt me. He will not do something to me to try to destroy me. He wants me to be able to follow him and learn along the way. But I know the importance of, you know, just always understanding that revelation. Also, know that we live behind enemy lines. We're here in the battlefield. You know, the devil hates us. His demons hate us. You know, some of his followers hate us. That's just the way it is. We just need to hold on to God. Next, God will use all these things in our life to help us mature. You know, God knows everything, right? So God knows what's in our heart. We think we do, right? But when the trial comes, we find out what's really there. So that's the benefit of a trial. So we can learn from them. Think long term. Don't get so caught up in the present that we sacrifice our future. You know, not picking on kids today, but when you get older, it's kind of one of those deals we do. But, you know, what freaks a child out is just another day at the office for an adult, isn't it? Because we've been through it so many times. You know, kids can get freaked out real easy because they don't have the life experience that an adult has. So we adults can, you know that, you know, we can get through this. We've been through this. This ain't no big deal. It's going to be okay. Hang in there. We tell the kid. Well, then we get in a trial. And we freak out. Maybe we ought to think back about what we tell the kids. Amen? Amen. And we know that God knows and he'll bring us through. You know, I always look at it off point, but what's worse could happen? Die and go to heaven? Come on. How bad could it be? It's going to be great. And lastly, you know, just stay close to God and all things will be revealed. When you're under the trial, just stay close to him. Things in darkness will come to the light. And you know what I hope? Is that the thing that's going to be revealed is that we've been transformed into the image of God. Let's pray.